You know AM 570 LA Sports is the Dodger station, but did you know this season we stream every single moment of the game on the iHeartRadio app? Just search AM 570 LA Sports and be sure not to miss a moment.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, well, if you wanted hot takes and you thought the first hour had plenty of them, we got another one for you. Although this one, I feel, is going to be the opposite, Rob Parker. I think Dodger fans are going to rally around this hot take from Rob Parker because he is calling it. He says it's a wrap. He says we have got a Cy Young. We will reveal the information here and who the winner will be coming up here momentarily. That guy is Rob Parker. I'm Jonas Knox in for Rogan and Rodney. This is AM 570 LA Sports, taking you all the way up until 3 o'clock right here on a beautiful Thursday here, Rob Parker, and always fun hanging out with you, my man.
No doubt. Always. On Fox Sports Radio and filling in over here on AM 570 LA Sports. And yes, baseball season's underway.
Yes.
Dodgers off to a good start. People are hopeful, right, to win another championship. And
agreed,
their arch rival, the team that really was going to be the one in the way, you know, loses Fernando Tatis Jr.,
yeah,
who's a star and a stud. You know, it's like so disappointing. Just from the standpoint of, you know, watching the kid play.
Agreed.
But for the Dodgers, it's, I mean, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, but it does help their cause.
Well, and also, shoulder injuries, you got to always watch out for that. Because you never know when that thing's going to pop up again. Look at Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger, all of a sudden, you know, goes to do a forearm smash. Next thing you know, he's walking around with a bum shoulder the rest of the series. He's got to get surgery in the offseason. Shoulder issues are always a problem. I had a buddy who was a boxer when he was young. He was actually a pretty good boxer. Threw his shoulder out, throwing a jab, and was never the same. Was never the same. To this day, can't do bench press, can't do all that stuff. So any sort of issues like that and just seeing the way it turned, the way it rotated, that could be a problem moving forward, man. So this is big time news. And if you're Fernando Tatis, you just look at this and go, hey, man, at least I got paid. That's
anybody
their problem.
Who thought he was crazy to take $300 million at his age.
Agreed.
Right? I mean,
agreed.
They put that on the table. Somebody's like, well, but 10 years from now, that'll be nothing. Okay, I'll be making
right,
nothing. I'm good
right,
with that. Yes.
Right, yeah.
Please tell me I'll be making nothing 10 years from now.
Listen, I'd rather have $300 million right now and learn to be good with my money over the next decade rather than wait it out the next decade and just hope the money's still there at the end.
And hope, right?
Yes.
You could have had the shoulder injury now before signing that. And come back and hit .210.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And I don't know about you, man. And listen, we got the Dodger home opener is coming up tomorrow, and
which
and
will be exciting, right?
About,
you got
of course.
What kind of a crowd? 11,000 to be at Dodger Stadium.
11,000. You know what it'll be? It'll be all the people that showed up to Blaze Pizza when LeBron James didn't.
Oh,
show
wow!
Up. Yeah, I think all those people got free tickets to come in.
And you know what? And they won't get pizza either tomorrow. It'll be
right,
the second
exactly.
Time.
But don't worry, LeBron will be playing Marco Polo in his swimming pool, going, "Why is all those people at my restaurant?" I have no idea, buddy. Maybe because you promoted, you were possibly going to be there. But I don't know about you. I found myself more excited for this baseball season, and I don't know if it's just because everything was taken away from us over the past year. But
we had such a short season last year. Remember,
yeah,
it was only 60 games, which is not baseball. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, that was
right.
That baseball, we you know, you got a 3 or 4 game series. It's drawn out. It's every day. It's like a soap opera. And I love it. I'm into the baseball season, you know, because you don't have to. It's not like football where you got to watch every game. There's only 16, soon to be 17. Baseball, you know, like you come in and out of it. You know what I mean, Jonas?
Yes.
You don't have to watch every single pitch. Now, in the playoffs, you watch every pitch.
Who wouldn't want to watch every pitch in the playoffs?
I've
never seen a sport go from total just relaxing,
yep.
just nice little cool breeze to an F5 tornado with the flip of a switch, like Major League Baseball goes from the regular season to the playoffs. I mean, I want to watch every pitch. I don't want to miss anything because every pitch counts in the playoffs because you never know what can happen, as evident in what we saw in the World Series against the Rays this past season. But I just, you know what it is, and you've been covering baseball for a long time. And I think if you're a Dodger fan listening to this and you're getting excited, you're excited for the start of the season, you're excited for the Cy Young winner to be on the roster. We're going to get to that momentarily. But here's why I think I was more excited for this baseball season, and I think a lot of people maybe felt the same way. There's something relaxing about baseball that no other sport has. There's a relaxation to it, to where you can sit back, go to a game, watch a game, and it's nice having no pressure involved when it's the regular season.
You know what, Jonas? I totally agree with you from this standpoint. I've always said it. It's the best quality time you could spend with somebody,
yes.
Okay? Nowhere else will somebody give you 3 hours, seriously, and you could sit there at the ballpark. What a beautiful day, Dodger Stadium,
yep.
You and your buddy or you and your wife or you and your girlfriend, and you're just relaxing, you're having a dog, you're having a beer or something to drink, and we could catch up, we could talk, and then there are important moments during the game, the bases are loaded, there's two outs, you know what I mean? Moments happen, but it is a quality time that you spend with somebody, and that's what baseball is. It
yeah.
really is.
And I just think it's so needed after all the crap everybody's been through for the past year to be able to have something, whether it's baseball or anything, but just have something to where you can sit back and just relax, man, and not have to worry about all the garbage that everybody's gone through, all the bad news, the doom and gloom, the politics, all that crap that's been floating around that's been so toxic. You can just go watch a game for a couple hours, bond, hang out, relax. Like, at this point, who cares who wins or loses? Obviously, you want your team to win, but just something away from the total chaos everybody's dealt with for the past 12 to 14
months.
Totally.
It's the greatest escape.
Yes.
And you're right. It's just nice to get outside again and sit in the crowd.
Yes.
And relax. The ball game to me has always been that. And L.A., and you know I've worked around, Jonas, in my 35-year career.
You've been around, that's for sure. I've
New
heard
York,
yeah,
Detroit,
yeah.
You know,
you
L.A.
You get around, man. That's a rumor. You
yeah.
definitely get around.
But I'm going to tell you, L.A. is a great baseball town. You know that. 4 million tickets sold every year. You got that. I've been in Detroit. I've been in Cincinnati. I covered baseball. They're a great baseball town. Detroit, New York. But I love going to Dodger Stadium. I love sitting outside, at the park. There's very few things that are better, and I understand why people always pack that place.
Yes, and it's also, I used to be one of those people who, when I would see a Dodger, because the old adage, the old joke you hear is, oh, you show up in the third, leave in the seventh, and look, people don't understand, when we're doing national shows, they don't understand what an issue traffic is. All right,
I didn't understand until I moved here 5 years ago. I used to rip Dodger fans all the time when I lived in New York. I'm being honest.
Exactly.
I just say, what?
Yes.
Where are they going?
Exactly.
The guy's pitching a no-hitter. You know,
exactly.
Where are you going?
My first radio job I ever had was in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was talking to the traffic guy at the radio station. I remember him telling me, oh, my God, the roads are just they're terrible out there. I was like, bro, you call this traffic?
Right.
Like you think this is traffic? This is nothing, man. Like, this is, you know, trying to pull into a 7-Eleven at 11:59 if they're closing it for cleaning at midnight. All right, this is nothing. Like, don't even worry about this. You don't know what it's like in Los Angeles. So I always used to bust people's balls, and I was the same way growing up. Like, why wouldn't you want to be here on time? These are your tickets. Why are you leaving early?
Right.
And then the older I get, the more I get it, man. It's not everybody is there to live and die with every pitch. People want to go to these games because they just want to get out of the house.
They
just want to have a good time and relax. And whether they don't want to be on a clock all the time. They don't want to have to clock in at 7:10 or 7:05 when the game starts and clock out at 10:10. They don't have to worry about that. They want to go at their own pace, at their own leisure. And baseball has enough games 81 of them in a regular season, obviously shortened the past couple of years, but they've got enough games to where you can show up whenever the hell you want, man, and just relax and have a good time. And that, I think that's the beautiful part about baseball, especially in Dodger Stadium, and why it's packed the way that it is every year.
Yeah, and whenever I hear people complain about the length of the game, I'm like, I love baseball. If the game's too long and I need to go somewhere, Jonas, you know what I do? I get up and leave.
Exactly.
I just leave.
Exactly.
I don't understand what the big thing is where they're like, well, look,
exactly.
I get up, I leave, and I listen to the rest of the game on AM 570, driving
right.
wherever I need to go. That's
damn
it.
Right. And listen, if you are interested in quality programming here and you want to do what Rob Parker does and you choose to listen on the radio, there is no place to be other than AM 570 LA Sports, because we have got opening day coverage tomorrow morning. Tim Cates and Steve Sachs from 6 to 9 a.m. on AM 570 LA Sports. Rogan and Rodney are going to be back 9 a.m. to 11:30. They're kicking Colin Cowherd off the air. Can you believe that? They've got enough power. Fred Rogan is such a dominant force in this town that he's kicking Colin Cowherd off the air.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
That is what you're dealing with Fred Rogan. They'll be on from 9 to 11:30. And then you've got the Dodgers World Series ring ceremony, which starts right after Rogan and Rodney at 11:30. So it's been a long time coming, Rob Parker, since 1988, and they're going to have some World Series rings. How about that?
And
about
you know LA what? Dodgers? They should celebrate it, because it has been a long time. There's been so much disappointment in this town with this Dodger team. You know this, Jonas. They've had a great team for a decade. You know, we could go all the way back, and you know, there was people were dreading that maybe Clayton Kershaw's career, he'd spend his whole time here and never win. And that's what you don't want to do in baseball when you have a pitcher like that. You want to make sure you get a World Series or two or three out of them during their tenure. And finally, last year, they got the monkey off their back.
Yeah, and just so we can pay off the tease here, a little radio formatics here on AM 570 LA Sports. Rob Parker thinks that Trevor Bauer is going to win the Cy Young.
I really do. I mean, he won the Cy Young last year with the Cincinnati Reds. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The history of that organization. They never won a Cy Young. Can you believe that?
Listen, they got their own problems.
No, but can you believe that they had never won a Cy Young?
I mean,
I was stumped.
What were their best options? Jose Rio and
no,
who?
Tom Seaver pitched there. You're right. They didn't have Jose Rio.
Randy
very good.
Myers,
Freddie Norman,
about?
Freddie Norman, and guys like that. But they had never won a Cy Young. And I just say, when you think about what he's
Freddie
done.
Norman, didn't he? Wasn't he? He was in the WWF in like 1988, wasn't he? Freddie
was
Norman?
He?
Is that what you're talking about? He was like a jobber or something like that. Who the hell's Freddie Norman? Who are you talking about?
What is his name? Freddie? He was a lefty. I thought that was his name. Maybe I got
no
his name
idea.
Mixed up.
Listen,
anyway, Trevor Bauer's been
Myers.
Great
yeah.
so far in two starts. Through his first two starts, hitters are 1-for-38 against Bauer in the first six innings.
Yeah.
And 5-for-9 in the seventh. That's his bugaboo, so he hasn't been able to go past that. But the first six innings, he's unhittable. And when you mix that in with the Dodgers lineup and the run support he's going to get, how is this guy not going to win 20 games and maybe win a Cy Young? Seriously.
Hey, I'll tell you this. If anybody out there, like Trevor Bauer should actually do speaking engagements, like he should show up and speak to elementary schools and places around town. I'm encouraging this because I've never seen somebody who cut their hand and missed a start in the playoffs playing with a drone who's turned into this much of an S-talker. I've never seen it before. I don't know where he gets the confidence from. If I cut my hand before a playoff start playing with a drone, playing with a toy, can you imagine that? You win something out of a claw machine at a carnival, and you cut it before a big playoff game, and then all these years later, you're the Cy Young, and you're talking all this trash. I don't know where he gets his confidence from. I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have that type of confidence. But the fact that he was able to do it, impressive.
When he toes that rubber and he starts dealing, I don't know, I guess you know what I mean. When you start putting those guys out and striking people out, he's got 10 strikeouts or more in each of his starts, he's been dominant.
And when it comes to toeing the rubber, nobody knows that like Rob Parker.
There you go, my man. Yeah, I touched the big toe or the little toe? Or the big toe.
Can you count to 11? All right, here we go. Rob Parker, Jonas Knox, in for Rogan and Rodney here on AM 570 LA Sports. I thought we were going to get through a full segment just doing classy sports talk, and you had to take us there.
Not possible. No, sorry.
Not even close to being possible. All right, coming up next here on AM 570, we are going to get to the, listen, a little bit of bad news. There's some bad news for the Los Angeles Lakers, but if nobody else is going to tell you this bad news, nobody else is going to give you this bad news, we are going to be the truth tellers here on AM 570 LA Sports, and that's yours next year.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
I'm the king of rock, there is none higher. Sucker MCs should call me sire. To burn my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Now we rock the party, it come correct. All cuts are on time.
He's Rob Parker. I'm Jonas Knox in for Rogan and Rodney. This is AM 570 LA Sports. Rob Parker, you have we've tried to spread things out a little bit here. A little bit of bad news to start the show. A little bit of positivity mixed in. Now we've got to get back to the bad news here because according to Rob Parker, somebody is in trouble. You ready for this, Rob Parker?
I'm ready. What's happening?
All right. Bill Oram is our Lakers writer for The Athletic joining us here on AM 570 LA Sports. Bill, we appreciate it. Hope you're having a good Thursday. Thanks for hanging out with us here.
Thanks for having me on.
Bill, I'll just get right to the hot take. Rob Parker thinks that Frank Vogel should be fired.
No, now, I did not
again,
say that.
Again, I thought it was a bit of a stretch, but Rob Parker thinks he should be fired, and he thinks the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs. Again,
no.
I don't believe that, but this is a Rob Parker take.
Yes.
Bill, I mean, that sounds like a Rob Parker take.
Bill, you're not buying that, are you?
No, I think, guys, I think both of those would be a little bit off base, but would certainly be leaning very into the current public narrative. Like, it's basically like noticing that a house is leaning a little bit and then basically just knocking it over because it's already done.
Yes. All right. So, Bill,
go ahead.
I was going to say my warning that I threw out today to start the show was after watching Kevin Durant, who had missed 25 games or whatever it was, come back last night and what he looked like and then what the Nets looked like. I know it was the Pelicans, but without even James Harden, how in the world are you going to beat that team if those three guys are playing? Did you watch Durant last night?
I did not see it last night, but I mean, I think that the fact that, I mean, I've seen it kind of throughout the time they've been together, and I certainly heard about, I saw some highlights and saw how Durant looked. I mean, I think that's the question that's on the mind of everyone in the league. I mean, you know, the West is an absolute battlefield, and there's great teams, and everybody's gearing up to beat the Lakers. But, you know, Brooklyn, in terms of pure offensive firepower, is going to be the toughest matchup the whole way. That doesn't mean they're unbeatable. No team's unbeatable. We've seen that. But in terms, it does seem like we almost have not slept on the Nets, but almost have underappreciated what that trio of guys is capable of offensively. And, you know, it might be, you know, everybody else might be playing for second. I think that is a much more reasonable take to have at this point in the season, certainly, than the two that you started the segment off with.
Yeah, and again, we were just teasing here. I like to give Rob Parker a little dose of his own medicine here from time to time. Bill, but in all seriousness, when it comes to where this team is at and the injuries and just sort of the recent struggles, which are totally understandable, your two best players are out. You got Frank Vogel saying a couple of days ago that, you know, Anthony Davis is still a ways away. He's already missed, you know, almost 2 months at this point. What do you expect from this team right now? What would be your expectation as far as how they advance in the postseason and where they finish up this year?
I mean, it's really interesting because I still do think, I mean, at full strength, there's not a team in the Western Conference that you would consider the Lakers underdogs against. I don't think you'd go into any series and say, oh, the Lakers have an uphill climb, even against Denver, even against the Clippers, Utah, which has been so good in the regular season so far. You'd still favor the Lakers. You would take the team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so because of that, I think you have to look at them as legitimate contenders in the West. That said, if you go in as the sixth seed or even the five seed, which looks completely plausible at this point with just 20 games to go, you're looking at the possibility of needing to play Denver, the Clippers, Utah, or a path that's kind of like that just to get to the finals. And that is an absolute gauntlet of matchups. There aren't any kind of warm-up matchups if you're coming from the sixth or even five seed in the West. And I think the Lakers are going to be able to avoid the play-in game. I think that is kind of the worst-case scenario where you've got to make them sing for, they have to kind of sing for their supper a little bit and advance through the play-in tournament. I think they're going to be able to get back on track before then. They're going to get enough LeBron and Anthony Davis to be able to fight into like the sixth seed. But, you know, the matchups from there get really tricky, really challenging, and just grueling. You know, there are no easy series there. And you start talking about doing all that work just to get into that series with the Nets that you're talking about. I feel like if right now you were giving me, you know, you're putting me in Vegas with money to burn,
right,
and so you're taking the Lakers or the field, I think you'd have to take the field because there's just so many potential pitfalls. Doesn't mean they can't do it. Doesn't mean they won't do it. I hate betting against LeBron James, but this year has seemed really stacked against these Lakers.
Now, let me ask you, what's the update as we talk about LeBron and AD? Do we have when AD's coming back or anything like that? What's the latest?
You know, let me channel my inner Frank Vogel here. He was asked that this morning, and his answer was a very curt, terse, no update. And, you know, if you read the tea leaves just a little bit, there's been a little chatter around the possibility of an AD return on April 15th when they get home from this road trip. Obviously, that's a big day for the Lakers where they're going to have fans back in the building facing the Celtics. Maybe the banner's going up. We haven't heard that quite yet. There's a little bit of chatter around that. So, I mean, I would watch that. That would put him at 2 months and a day past what was originally a four-week injury. So that seems like a good date to watch for AD. LeBron is a different situation. I mean, to get to 6 weeks from when he sprained that ankle is going to be into May, and you know whether or not he's going to be able to beat that timeline. Kind of the standard timeline for the worst case of a high ankle sprain would be 6 weeks. If he's able to come back a little early, great. But there's not going to be a lot of regular season left really for either one of those guys. But, you know, I think, you know, LeBron and AD are both on this current road trip. They're in the midst of what is technically a seven-game road trip, but it included the game at the Clippers. But so for all intents and purposes, it's a five-game East Coast swing. LeBron and AD are both on the road. We saw LeBron on the sideline. He's not in a walking boot, which I guess is a positive sign. But in terms of what is happening in terms of their rehab and an update to their timeline, you know, we're all kind of guessing here.
He is Bill Orme. He covers the Lakers for The Athletic, joining us here on AM 570 LA Sports. Jonas Knox, Rob Parker in for Rogan and Rodney here. Bill, let me ask you this. If LeBron James wasn't injured, would Anthony Davis be coming back on the 15th possibly?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because the AD injury does feel, and I think this is what you're getting at, a little bit more like something that just isn't going to go away.
Yeah.
And at some point you're just going to have to put him out there and see how he responds, see how much pain he's in, see what he can endure. Whereas LeBron, you know, there's a much more tangible injury there. There's something that needs to heal and does heal with time. And the Lakers are sliding. There's no doubt about that. I know they, you know, had a decent win over the Raptors the other night. At this point, it's just counting, right? How many wins can you get? And, you know, the Lakers will take them however they come. So a shorthanded Raptors team, absolutely, put it in the bank. But, you know, the Lakers need to win games, you know, consistently down the stretch to really avoid a worst-case scenario. And that may be asking more of Anthony Davis than you would like to.
Yeah.
But even still, I mean, if he comes back on the 15th, that is basically a month before the playoffs. I mean, you still got to look at that as ramp-up time for a guy who hasn't played in 2 months. So I think you want to get both those guys back on the floor really as soon as they're ready, because you don't want it to be a week before the playoffs or, you know, again, basically the start of a play-in scenario and be like, okay, LeBron and AD, go be LeBron and AD. You know, those guys have answered the bell every time, but I would think you'd want to be able to put them in some more friendly situations to build up their stamina, their chemistry with guys on the team. And keep in mind, there's a lot of new personnel since both those guys got hurt. You've got Andre Drummond out there now.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol is not going to be playing. Like, this is a different look Lakers team than LeBron and Anthony Davis. No.
And it feels like, and the reason I asked the question, Bill, because it feels like the LeBron injury, the slide afterwards that you pointed out, has maybe kind of sped up the timeline on Anthony Davis's return, and I just don't know how that plays out well. We saw, and I'm not saying it's going to go the direction that the Kevin Durant injury went when he did the Achilles in the finals. But I just wonder, had LeBron not gone down with the injury, are we even talking about Anthony Davis coming back this soon, or are they taking a more patient approach and maybe it's closer to the postseason?
Yeah,
I think they've taken a really patient approach with AD for the exact reasons that you laid out, and I guess it's just a matter of how much patience can they endure, because at some point, they do need these guys to play if they're going to play. If Anthony Davis is going to come back from this injury, at some point you're going to need him to play on it. And, I think that at this point it's actually probably been a study in restraint in not trying to ramp it up quicker, because you've got, LeBron James out for 3 weeks at this point, and AD's missed 2 months. He's already, blown through the original timeline the Lakers, gave, the original estimate. So, with the way that this team is performing, I think you'd have every reason to say, get out there sooner. I think the hope would be that April 15th is kind of in the sweet spot of he's taken the time. It's as healed as it's going to be. You're not concerned about it leading to, knock on wood, an Achilles tendon tear. And, it's as bad as it's going to get. So try it. I think that'd be the best case scenario, that you've kind of achieved the best of both worlds, that he's gotten the time off he needs, and you still have time to kind of make a push in terms of playoff standings.
Hey, last thing, Bill, we only got about a minute here. Rondo being on the Clippers, not the Lakers, how big of a deal is that going to become playoff time if playoff Rondo appears for the Clippers?
I mean, I think it's a big deal. I mean, I know Rondo, hasn't played great this year, but to me, that's a guy who brings so much piss and vinegar on the floor and really looks for any perceived slight in a matchup. I would hate to beat the Lakers playing him, because even though he won a ring with the Lakers, he's going to use every single thing he knows about Frank Vogel and about LeBron James to his competitive advantage. And if he's not the one who's able to execute it on the floor, he's going to be using it to help guys like Kawhi and Paul George, to help Ty Lue, and to really be just kind of that psychological weapon that he was for the Lakers last year too. So, I mean, it's not just whether playoff Rondo steps up in terms of being on the court. It's, this guy who just, it turns into a menace psychologically as well in the postseason. So I think it matters for sure.
Oh man, be still my heart. Bill Orme just brought back something from my childhood. My dad used to say "full of piss and vinegar" every other sentence growing up, and you just brought back that term. My God, what a flashback for me. You know what? Let's make that popular again. Can we do that, piss and vinegar, please? I think it's one of the more underrated things that you can say, and Bill Orme just brought it back here on AM570 LA Sports. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, I'm definitely now I have to figure out why it is that I'm reciting sayings that haven't been popular in several decades.
Who cares? It all comes back again.
Jonas has been doing that on the radio for the last 10 years, so Bill, it's no big deal. Appreciate you, Bill.
Bill, you're awesome. Thanks, we appreciate it, man.
Take care.
Now, there he is, the great Bill Orme. Get him on Twitter, @BillOrme. He covers the Lakers for The Athletic here. Jonas Knox, Rob Parker, in for Rogan and Rodney here on AM570 LA Sports. Coming up next, Rob Parker was in the news. He was trending. If you don't believe him, just ask him. We've got all the details on one of the biggest scams ever pulled on social media, and it's yours next here on AM570.
Sports.
He is Rob Parker. I'm Jonas Knox, in for Rogan and Rodney here on AM570 LA Sports. We do have a trending situation in the world of sports radio, specifically AM570 LA Sports Radio, which we will get to here coming up momentarily here. But we do want to let you know, and a reminder, it is opening day. It is Dodgers opening day tomorrow.
With and fans in the stands.
Oh, my God. Cannot wait for that. It is going to be a blast. Even, look, 11,000, there could be 11. Who cares? Fans in the stands, it's always better at Dodger Stadium. And today we are announcing the winner of our 57-second shopping spree at the Dodgers Clubhouse Store on Universal City Walk, brought to you by El Jimador Tequila. Enjoy 100% responsibly. So check that out, and we've got opening day tomorrow. But all of that pales in comparison for right now in this topic when it comes to the fact that Rob Parker was trending on social media. If you went on Twitter, you saw Rob Parker trending. Now, if you missed
it. What did you think first? First of all, I'm going to say Jonas, because friends of mine started texting me and whatnot going, what did you do now?
Right.
Right. Not that there was something good about me,
right.
You know. What did you do now?
Yeah, it's whenever the name Jonas is trending, it's never about me. It's usually about the Jonas Brothers and which one of them got engaged,
exactly.
Or you know who's got a new cologne line that they're coming out with at Macy's or whatever they want to call it. But I see Rob Parker, and here's the thing. I didn't actually see that Rob Parker was trending on social media. I saw Rob Parker post a picture of Rob Parker trending on social media, which is a bit over the top, I would say. Showmanship.
I'm in the communications business. I'm about pushing the news, moving the needle. So people who follow me need to know that I'm trending, because I'm trying to tell them this is why you're following me on social media. This is what I'm trying to do, is move the needle to give you the most information and content going. Nobody offers more content than me on a daily basis.
Okay, and now here's the thing. There were probably some people who saw Rob Parker trending and they said, oh my God, did something happen? Anything from, is he transitioning? Did he get a DUI? Was he kicked out of an El Pollo Loco again for arguing about the price of a Diet Coke? What could he possibly be trending for? And of course, it's you once again attacking Steph Curry. Of course, you got to attack Steph Curry. Your latest problem with Steph Curry is what? All right, hasn't he been through enough, Rob Parker? Hasn't he been through enough? Why do you continue to have to bully Steph Curry on top of just Steph Curry, the state of Michigan, LeBron James, Tom Brady? Why are there consistently these people or these groups of things that you feel the need to take a battle axe to every time you go on social media? What's the point?
It's just that everybody says that Steph Curry's a transcendent player and he's the greatest shooter of all time, yet he's 0-for-10 in big moments with less than 10 seconds with a shot to either tie the game for his team or win it. He's 0-for-10, but he's the greatest shooter ever, which I don't understand. And here's my other point. If he is that guy, and I don't believe he's that guy, then his team wouldn't be out of the playoff picture. I don't care who's on his team if he's that guy. 16 of the 30 teams make the playoffs. Steph Curry should be able to take some of these guys. Draymond said he's the greatest defender ever. So you got the greatest defender ever, the greatest shooter ever, and then you got all these wise men and some of these other young players. So you mean to tell me that Steph Curry can't get them in position to make the playoffs? This was supposed to be Steph Curry this year, no Klay Thompson, right? Durant's long gone.
Yep.
Stick his chest out and prove to people he is that player. He can put people on his back. But no, Steph isn't Batman. He's Robin. He needs to come. That's why when Durant showed up, he took his team and his lunch money. Durant was the MVP of the finals those 2 years. Steph Curry's never won an MVP. And lastly, Steph Curry is the author of the biggest choke job the history of the NBA. You want to talk about the Clippers choking? No. Being up 3-1 after you set the NBA record with 73 wins, you choked down 3 straight losses, including 2 at home, to choke and give up a championship? Don't tell me he's a transcendent player. I'm sorry. He's a great player, has had a great career. I'm not poo-pooing what he's done. I'm not discounting him or saying he's a bum. I'm just saying stop trying to make everybody like they're the greatest thing that ever happened. It's just not the case. with Steph Curry.
Well, and you've got a little bit of red on your ass when it comes to Steph Curry, because one of the most heated debates I ever heard you and Chris Broussard have on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio was the argument Steph Curry or Isaiah Thomas. That was the most heated debate you guys have ever had, because you are, now for people that don't know, Rob Parker actually doubles as Isaiah Thomas's cabana boy. Like, it's amazing to see how much you love Isaiah Thomas.
It has more to do with, I've covered the league, and I'm not throwing out my credentials, Jonas.
Yes, you
but
are.
I've been covering the NBA.
Pull it out, lay it on the table, Rob Parker. Let's see what you're working with.
Since 1987, baby, it's long, okay? My tenure in the NBA is long. And I've been covering the league for a long time, and everything that happened yesterday, everybody tries to convince me is better than anything. And Isaiah Thomas, he's the only guy. You're going to tell me Steph Curry's better? He choked down a finals. Isaiah Thomas is the only guy who beat Jordan, Bird, and Magic all in their primes. Come on, man. And give me the other Hall of Famer, right? The other transcendent player that he played with. He played with a lot of good players, Rodman and Joe Dumars. And I'm not saying he didn't have any help. But Isaiah Thomas, to try to discount like he's not the best small man out there who played in the NBA is ridiculous.
Did I ever tell you my Isaiah Thomas story? So we're filling in for Doug Gottlieb on Fox Sports Radio. It was myself, and I think Dan Beyer might have been with us. And Isaiah Thomas was booked as a guest. Isaiah Thomas comes on, and the first thing he says is, "Oh, man, I thought I was going to be on with Doug."
Is that what he said?
I swear to God. And so I said on the air, I'm like, "Oh, that's all right. We thought we were getting Joe Dumars."
Wow.
And he started laughing. He goes, "Okay, touche, very good." But no, he was super cool, a very good interview.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's funny.
But he does sort of get lost in the mix, man. Like, there are certain players.
Give him his credit. He won two championships during that time.
Exactly.
Beat Michael Jordan, beat Magic Johnson, beat Larry Bird. I mean, like you got to give that guy his due.
Here's another guy from that era that doesn't get – I don't think it's enough credit. When you think about the great Laker teams from the 80s, all right, everybody talks about Magic, Kareem, and James Worthy. Man, Michael Cooper never gets brought up.
No. Nope.
He never gets discussed. And if you ask Larry Bird, best defender he ever played against was Michael Cooper. Larry Bird, one of the great offensive players in the history of basketball, said Michael Cooper was one of the best players defensively he ever matched up against. He was easily his toughest defender. Some guys just get lost, man. Some guys get the hype, and some guys don't.
And we're talking about the hype. Now, give me your take. I'm not saying you got – the Steph Curry is over the top. You can't be the greatest shooter and you never made a big shot in that big moment. Yes, is he an unbelievable 3-point shooter? Yes, I'll give you that. He's a great player. Greatest shooter of all time. I would take Reggie Miller, and I would take Ray Allen anytime over Steph to make a big shot when the game is on the line.
Look, a big shot, you might have an argument there. I think, and I know we need to get to break. I think why people love Steph Curry is because he's relatable, man. A lot of people can hit a three. Not everybody can do a dunk. Not everybody can jam.
And the kids like him because he's the same size and they can pick him up. That's how the kids relate to Steph.
Very good. Very good. There's Rob Parker as he continues to insult short people. Up next hour, we're going to do a bunch of jokes from Rob Parker on the jockeys at San Anita. So make sure you stick around for that. That's always fun stuff from Rob Parker. He is Rob Parker. I'm Jonas Knox. We are in for Rogan and Rodney here on AM 570 LA Sports. And if you want to talk about all-time greats, how do you leave Vic the Brick out of this conversation? He joins you next here on AM 570.